enjoying life. Completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
My name is Alana. I was 6 years old, and I got diagnosed with cancer. I come to San Diego for treatment.
After her last treatment on December the 4th, I was just kind of having a conversation with her, letting her know, Alana, you did awesome. Mommy's so proud of you. Like, you fought, you accepted whatever was happening, you went with it. And her words to me were, Mommy, thank you so much for helping me get through this. She said, I could not have done this without you. This was very hard. And I couldn't even hold my tears because when I think about it, I would not have been able to get through this without St. Jude. And so once we became part of the St. Jude family, everything was okay. Thank you, St. Jude, for helping me get her through this because I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to Taking Charge of Paula Robinson. We've got a fantastic show. How are you, Paula?
I'm great. How are you today?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't what I was thinking I was going to be doing today. I was thinking I was going to be giving you a call Monday and saying, listen, let's pre-record the show because the Super Bowl parade is on Thursday. That didn't happen.
Yeah, sadly.
It sadly didn't happen, but you know, we're all appreciative that we had the opportunity and it's getting easier every day. I'm good. What are you going to do, right, Paul? I can't even fake it.
Yeah, you seem a little depressed.
A little bit. I'm getting better. On Monday, you know, it is what it is. But we have a great guest, who is no stranger to the broadcast, Dr. Paul Rubin. Doctor, how are you?
Doing good, kind of the same boat as you. I thought I'd be at a parade today.
Yeah.
Not on here.
I know. We could have done. I have broadcasted on location where I actually did it on my cell phone one time when I was we were doing a labor show and I was in Atlantic City interviewing people for a strike that we were doing right here on WWDB. So I have done it and we could have maybe done something crazy like that. But we're gonna have to wait till next year to do something crazy. Shout out to Drew Walker for making it happen. How you doing, Drew? He's doing good. That, by the way, is a suspect answer. He's got to be. What time's the ankle bracelet go back on? 3:30.
3:30. Yeah.
We're just kidding. But we have a great show. We talk workers' compensation. We have Jennifer Gomez Hardy calling in at the halfway point of the broadcast. personal injury attorney in the city of Philadelphia. So we have all the dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's here. Paula, if you will just remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Yes, Paula Robinson. I founded Robinson Law in 2011, and I represent injured workers in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I've been practicing a total now of 35 years. And
since she was 39, since she was 4 years old. Amazing.
Yeah, right.
I find it amazing, Paul.
So, yeah, I enjoy what I do, and there's a lot of folks out there who need help.
Absolutely. And by the way, when somebody gets injured, obviously legal representation, unfortunately for them, is typically something that they, you know, they need. And in the process there, thankfully, we have Paula Robinson, who's able to do a phenomenal job on behalf of our injured workers. But they often also need medical help. And that's where Dr. Paul Rubin comes in. Doc, how are you? And tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Sure. My name is Dr. Paul Rubin. I'm a chiropractor downtown in Center City, Philadelphia here. And, you know, we treat injured workers, you know, and other, you know, types of patients and everything there. We work closely with the attorneys and been in practice downtown in Center City about 20 years now.
Sounds great. That's great in representation of the client. Paula never calls the doctor, and he never calls. He's never going to call you back. He said, you know, just, we're having a little
You're
bit of fun.
You're ornery today.
Yeah.
We're having
a
little bit
of
fun.
We all are.
No, but you know, it's funny because the communication, one of the things that a lot of injured workers, you know, talk about is not having communications with their lawyers. That's a priority to you, right, Paula? Certainly,
yes.
The individuals go through so many situations,
yes.
And that. But it's also important between the doctor and the lawyer, correct?
Yes, I answer my phones myself. So when you retain me, you get me. You don't get anybody else.
She says that, but she hasn't answered one of my calls in 7 months.
Oh, please.
4 to 5 times a day. Then I call Drew, and I'm like, can you have Paul call me? Now, absolutely. That's a big part of, one of the things that, you know, especially people are going through situations like this, that communication. Although, Paul, when somebody gets injured on the job, sometimes... I mean, it's a process. There's ebbs and flows. And, you know, it sometimes things don't happen. What's the first thing somebody should do when they get injured?
Well, they should give notice to their employer and then seek medical attention immediately.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The notice is so important because a lot of people think, oh, I just tweaked my back, or I'll sleep on it and days go by. And that's really putting them at a disadvantage because their employer and the workers' comp carrier will do everything they can to, you know, say it didn't happen at work, or you did it over the weekend, or you were fixing your brother-in-law's car and you injured it there. They'll take every advantage they
can.
What
format should somebody give notice in? Like, in other words, I know legally a call is enough.
Yes. They can orally give notice, like tell the person right then and there. A lot of my clients, they seem to text. And if they text notice, if they keep the text, then they have it. And we put that into evidence. And then some of them just call the employer. Some of them give multiple notice to multiple supervisors or managers.
And are those issues ever in dispute? You know, ethically speaking, how often, well, say I call my employer and I say, you know, I've been injured. I was injured, just 5 minutes ago. Does it ever actually come in dispute where the employer says, no, you never told me, because there's no written proof of it?
Yes, it does. And what happens is they testify in workers' comp court, and it's up to the judge to determine credibility.
How often does that happen?
It doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen.
So if I'm testifying and I'm the boss and Drew Walker walks in and he says, I say, no chance in the world, who wins? Is it me or Drew?
Well, it depends on the judge. I had
you,
one.
The judge is Paula Robinson.
No, I'm the attorney.
Okay. That was pretty good. that was pretty quick.
I had one case where everybody was Hispanic, and the employer had lined up all these witnesses to sign the same piece of paper saying that the claimant did not give notice. Mm-hmm. But they and when I crossed them, they were just the witnesses crumbled. They were literally shoved this piece of paper in front of them and told to sign it.
Oh, my God.
Indicating that he did not give notice. So that was a really tough case.
What happens at that point? Can the judge make a judge? I mean,
yeah.
When it becomes obvious that this was obviously fabricated.
Yeah. Well, I asked the court to take judicial notice that the paper that all four of them signed separately was all the same
verbiage.
All the same verbiage. And in his conclusions, he noted that. And he found them not credible, and he found my claimant to be credible.
When you say his conclusions, is it the conclusion of the case, or does he actually rule right there and say, okay, this is bull? You know, like the employee or the employer is going to dispute the claim, and these clowns are going to come in and you know, do something like that. How long after that, you know, where they presented those, you know, ridiculous letters, did the judge make a decision?
Well, it did go to a decision, and that takes about 9 months to a year.
That's incredible. Wow. If it was me and I was the judge, I'd stand right there and go, you see what you just did there?
Well, they can't do that.
We're going to make some new law, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I mean, this case, I think I told you about it before. It was very, very sad. My claimant had a severe herniations, mm-hmm. and he was injured on the job. And the judge found for us, and then they appealed it. We won on the appeal. But he couldn't work, and he couldn't feed his family, so they had to move back to Puerto Rico in with the wife's mother.
Wow.
And, I mean, we kept in touch. I mean, we had to because of the litigation, but, he was forced from his home.
And eventually, were we able to secure the, the benefit?
Eventually, we did settle the case.
Okay. It just amazes me that somebody, and what was their grounds for disputing it? What was the grounds?
They fought us on notice. They fought on the medical. They hired an IME doctor who said, he had all these problems before, and none of the medical records bared out that he had any problem before. It was an acute traumatic injury.
And, of course, right. The IME doctor spent years and years living with him.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get some changes in these laws. You know, there's got to be some fairness here to where when somebody actually has a severe injuries, that there's a massive penalty for these people doing what they did. Mm. It just drives me crazy. Doc, you see individuals, injured workers on a regular basis in these similar situations. How do you deal with, when you see Paul Robinson sends you over a client and Paul mm-hmm. gets the case, midway through when the individual's taking a sincere shot at handling this case themselves, but of course, not possible. They don't know the rules, the laws, and right. end up disputed. They finally get good counsel, and they walk into your office, and they've been beat up so often by the panel doctor, or they've right. seen an IME or something like that. Now their trust in the profession is lacking. Because they're so used to you right. guys being part of their family, and now all of a sudden they've seen some people they never met before. Now they're jaded. How do you deal with that situation?
I mean, you gotta establish trust again, regain their trust, let them know you're here on their not on their side, so to speak, but you're there. You're not against them or anything like
you're
that.
An advocate.
You're here to just say what's on what's going on. You're working closely with their representation and. You help them and you're here to actually help them and not against them. And
how often does that happen?
A lot of times because they've been, I had a patient literally this week. He's like, yeah, my employer, he said he was going to work with me. Then the next day I got terminated. Another guy, he was, he's in like a halfway house because he's in the situation. And then, they bullied him because they figured, he didn't want to go, get in trouble again or whatever like that. But, once you have representation and someone on your side, and a medical doctor that's, here to accurately, listen to you and your injuries, eventually they do, they're very appreciative and, you know, of that and like a relief.
How often, Paul, does that situation come walking to your office where they tried to handle the situation themselves?
I'd say about half of my caseload. Either I have clients that right away have a work injury and they call me, or I have people that have been on comp months or even years, and it's getting close to the insurance company wanting to cut them off. They're scared. They don't understand what's going on. And finally, they get a lawyer. And so many say to me, I never hired a lawyer in my life. I'm not like this. But it's not a matter of being like that. You need right. represented, and you have to help yourself.
Well, people don't realize that they'll just fall playing into the hands of the other side. They have protocols happening immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then Paul looks at them, snaps her finger, and goes, there's a new sheriff in town.
Yep.
That's what's up. how often do individuals who get hurt not only receive the proper medical care at the beginning, but also don't get diagnostics so that, you know, there's no, of course, there's no injury because an x-ray may or may not show, you know, it certainly doesn't show a herniation. So how often, why does that happen?
Well, the lack of diagnostics happens because when they report a work injury, they have to treat with the quote unquote panel providers for the first 90 mm-hmm. days. The employers are supposed to give the injured workers a list, and they're to pick from the list. But a lot of times the employer will just say, you go here. And then when they go there, they get substandard care. The doctors or the, you know, nurse practitioners or the physician's assistants rush them back to work. They don't order the proper diagnostics. And the people are just – they think this is the way it has to be, and it doesn't.
Well, people necessarily. I know that we live in an at-will state. Pennsylvania is an at-will state.
Yes.
Okay. People may not even know it, but they say they don't want to. You know, they don't want to make waves. And when you hear those stories where somebody got terminated, mm-hmm. okay, when they and how I mean. Is that's not actually legal. You can't, I mean, even though we live in an at-will state, you can't, an employer can't fire an employee for an illegal reason, correct? Like if you get injured on a job and you file for workers' comp. Isn't that?
Technically, they are not supposed to terminate individuals when they file a claim or go after workers' comp benefits, mm-hmm. but it happens all too often. And then the burden shifts to the employee to prove that there was a wrongful termination or they were terminated because of the workers' comp situation. Mm.
So that can't be real hard, right? I've worked with this company for 16 years, never missed a day's work, never had a bad, you know, violation or anything like that. Filed for workers' comp on Thursday, Friday, all of a sudden got my check. What are the consequences to an employer for that? And how's that work?
Well, the employee would have to hire an employment law attorney to fight the termination. That's totally separate from workers' comp. Wow.
But I've heard that it's in the employer's best interest not to do that because the
right.
You know, why shouldn't, I mean, we know morally why they shouldn't do it, but why shouldn't they do it in regards to you know, not doing it just in general? Like, is it because, you know, they lose connection with that worker, and that worker might choose to stay on workers' compensation for the rest of their life. Even though they're hurt, what would be to the disadvantage of the employer for canning that employee? Besides, legally speaking, they're not allowed to do it.
Well, one thing they never think about, but when they terminate that employee, and if the employee gets on workers' comp and at some point is released to like modified duty or light duty, the insurance carrier goes to the employer and says, do you have work for this person to work in a light duty capacity? And then they say, well, no, we terminated them. Well, the claimant stays on comp then. So by terminating them, which is wrong, I mean, they essentially screwed themselves too.
Interesting. That's amazing how many probably employers learn that the hard way.
What goes around comes around.
Absolutely. Paul, let's talk about you know, the practice.
Paul or Paula?
Paul. I knew this was Drew. What the heck's wrong? We're just going to call you Bob, Paul Rubin. All right, Bob. And the answer is, I've been called worse, buddy. Just keep rolling.
Right.
So, Dr. Rubin.
Okay.
you talk about individuals that come. Let's talk about your facilities and, you know, the fact that, you know, what type of, you know, expectations a client has when they come in.
Sure. Well, you know, our staff and myself, I greet the patient one-on-one. As we were talking earlier, you know, about Paula's practice, my practice is the same way. You know, they work with just me. I'm the only, you know, I'm the main doctor there. I'm the one they work with. You know, they're in touch with me. You know, they can respond to text messages with myself or the office. And we're, you know, we work very closely with the patient. We try and treat them like family. You know, we're friends with them. I think, you know, we were selling Girl Scout cookies the other day. You know, it becomes like a friendly family atmosphere. You know, we're here to help them. We're not here to, you know, judge them. And we have, you know, state-of-the-art facility there, you know, new equipment, traction machines, you know, chiropractic machines, physiotherapy-type units and everything like that, a lot of passive modalities. And we work, you know, one-on-one with the patients. And we hear from, you know, listen to the patients. They're not treated, you know, just like a number. They're treated like a person. They're treated with dignity. They're treated with respect. And we do treat them like, you know, one of our own family members.
And you know, chiropractic is, people see their chiropractors more than they do their doctors these days. I mean, hundreds of times more. Like, you know, years ago it was a new, obviously it was a new option. But now you're, you know, especially with healthcare being as it is, wouldn't you say that chiropractic is almost as mainstream as, you know, going to see your family doctor? I'm not saying as, but almost.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, who's your chiropractor? Not like, you go to a chiropractor. Like, oh, who's your chiropractor? Who do you go to, you know?
And the answer is only one. There's only one chiropractor out there, and his name is Dr. Paul Rubin.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. but, yeah, you know, it's such a, you know, there's so many people. You go in, and you're basically not, it's one of the only places I'm aware of that you could go in, half bent over and walk out, you know, with immediate, like, relief.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is a benefit that you just don't have. And also, there are so many more benefits to chiropractic. You know, I talk about them, you know, including, you know, the non-addicting issues that people often run into with other pain solutions.
Right. So because we're not, you know, it's a drugless profession, you're not get, you know, have to deal with the opiates or addictions. We, you know, we work on taking care of the root of the cause of the problem, not just covering up, you know, and masking it with symptoms. And just so even though they might not feel the pain, they might not realize they're still, you know, doing all the damage they could be done, you know, to the joints, you know, vertebrae, discs, and all that. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not, you know, being hurt or anything like that.
And so who are your the majority of your patients? Like, in other words, you got injured workers.
Right.
You know, individuals who are injured, you know, in other areas. You know, a lot of people utilize chiropractic for preventative care.
Sure.
Talk about the wide array of people that come to
you. Yeah, we treat people for preventative care. You know, it's almost as if someone who does yoga, you know, they don't go to yoga because they're hurting. They go to yoga to feel better. You know, you don't brush your teeth because your teeth are, you know, already have the cavity in there. You're doing it to prevent it. So we work with the patient to align your spine, take the pressure off the nerves, and restore the proper function and motion of the joints. You know, this kind of naturally conversation leads into athletes, just because I'm looking at your Eagles shirt here, and it's making me think of that, but, you know.
Well, you're looking at my physique.
And the physique in your Eagles shirt, exactly.
Clearly plays
your
ball.
Your athletic gear, right.
Yeah.
Not just the shirt, not just the...
Exactly.
Not the hoodie, but... Right. and so, you know, we had some, actually, an NFL player this week, you know, he was actually injured, but a lot of people that just, you know, to feel better, you know, all the teams do have chiropractors now and everything, just to keep them optimal, you know, and moving as well as they can.
I imagine that, you know, and by the way, when we talk workers' comp, Paul, professional athletes, they're covered by work comp, correct?
Yes.
Now, it's, you know, I'm assuming that fairly soon Jalen Hurts isn't going to need to be getting on workers' comp. Fairly soon he's going to be, you know, yeah. I'll tell you one thing, he sure, that's right. He did incredibly well I'm real proud of him, no doubt about it. Well, you know, but that's not important. You get me on a tangent.
Right.
Talk about psychology here, people, for people who lost the Super Bowl. but, yeah, a lot of sports, I imagine a lot of players come after the games to kind of get adjusted.
Yeah. Definitely. Just to, you know, for recovery and everything after they beat up their bodies and all that, they come to the chiropractor just to, you know, align your spine, loosen up the muscles, you know, help with the, you know, if they have like slight disc injuries or pinched nerve going down the arms or legs, you know, or, you know, head injuries or neck injuries just from being pushed around and all the, you know, it's like they're in a lot of car accidents throughout the period of a game, you know, the all O-line, D-line. And
you would imagine that, like, well, and on really almost in every situation, especially pro football, the collisions are incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the offensive linemen, I mean, that you know, I mean, you're talking, but even like wide receivers, you know, Devontae Smith weighs 160 pounds. He's getting crushed.
I don't know how he does it.
By linebackers. I mean, he's just, you know, and listen, you know, it's definitely, and I'm sorry, sure, in hockey and baseball, your body's torqued and, you know, on a constant basis. And
all the sports. There was, I guess there's this Arthur Ashe, I don't even know about it, this multi-million dollar facility for squash. I think they have like a world squash event. We had a few players come in for that, which I don't even know much about squash.
By the way, where's it at?
It's like on Drexel's campus or something.
Because we have the Arthur Ashe tennis facility in East Falls.
I think it was after Arlen Specter, I think, because he was a big squash guy, I think.
Well, is it named after Arlen?
Because, I think it is, yeah.
Ironically, Arlen Specter lived off of Schoolhouse Lane right off of right where Philadelphia University is, and the Arthur Ashe facility for tennis is at the bottom of the street. Hmm. It's like a hidden, you know, it's not as hidden now, but it used to be called Augustine Lake.
Okay.
But, you know, even squash players coming in and getting Do you do a lot of athletes?
Yeah, definitely a lot of athletes. We do really everyone. It runs the gamut, injured workers, but auto accidents, but a lot of athletes as well. We have their pictures up in the office. My friend says it looks like Jim Steaks in there, you know, because people with the posing pictures. Like, it looks like a deli. I'm like, well, it's not a deli, but, you know, we have, you know, because we ask their permission and everything.
Yeah.
We have them on the wall from all the four major sports, of course.
And like a celebrity wall and stuff.
Yeah,
like
we have a celebrity wall of fame in the office for athletes. Yeah.
They have one on the post office. Drew Walker's on it. You should see.
On a milk carton?
And a milk carton. I better not mess with him because Paul and next month's guest will be invisible if I keep.
That's right.
let's do this. Let's take a short break, and we'll have more from Taking Charge with Paul Robinson in just a minute.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, certified workers' compensation attorney and specialist Paula Robinson will handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. If you get injured on the job, call workers' compensation attorney Paula Robinson of Robinson Law at 215-530-7166 or go to robinsonlawyer.com. That's Robinson, LWYR.com, and get the support, the representation, and results you need to get back on your feet again.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, an RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. I felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Alleny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you know the Dedicated difference, you won't be disappointed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Taking Charge with Paul Robinson. We've got a fantastic show going on. Dr. Paul Rubin, who does a great job for injured workers and individuals who are injured in personal injury type situation. Of course, our host, Paul Robinson, workers' compensation attorney in the state of Pennsylvania. And of course, I'm ecstatic to bring on to the program one of my favorite all-time hosts, Jennifer Gomez Hardy. How are you, Jen?
What's up, everybody?
Hi, Jen.
I told them you'd be.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You too.
I told them you'd be very shy and probably wouldn't say much.
Well, that is so accurate. Thank you for letting them know.
Exactly. By the way, if you would, before as we start, Jen, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Hey guys, my name is Jennifer Gomez Hardy. You will remember me as J. Go Hard.
That's
back
right.
In the day when I was rocking the mic with Joe. Yep. I am a personal injury attorney here in Pennsylvania and in New Jersey. That's all we do. 1845 Walnut Street. You could hit me up, 267-313-1186. You could check out my website, www.gomezjustice.com.
And Jen, let's talk a little bit about the firm Gomez Law Group. Okay, you've been obviously practicing a long time. Let's talk about the types of cases that you cover.
So we do all motor vehicle accidents, trip and falls. We do negligent security. We've been dipping and diving in some other things as needed. We do some pro bono cases, but our bread and butter is motor vehicle trip and fall stuff.
And having said that, one of the things you and I talk a lot about, you're also past president of the Hispanic Bar in Philadelphia, correct?
Yeah. Yes, I was that in 2020. I'm still very actively involved in the HBA, Hispanic Bar Association of Pennsylvania, and their sister organization. It's the Legal Education Fund, which helps law students get money for school and things like that.
Right. And I couldn't get in there. I applied 7 times. Something about having to be an attorney. And then they complained about not getting out of community college. I don't know. But one of the things.
Technicality.
It's ridiculous. By the way, I'm going to spend $10 million to get that amended. Having said that, let's talk about something obviously introduce you to Dr. Paul Rubin and of course, Paul Robinson. We talked, Paul is a workers' compensation attorney here in Philadelphia and around the Delaware Valley. And Dr. Rubin awesome chiropractor. And by the way, Doc, you have a great network of professionals around. So there's talk about that real quick, because if somebody comes in and they're injured, your referral network to individuals in all specialties is pretty huge, right?
Sure, whether it's pain management, neurology, orthopedic doctors, or acupuncturists, or even massage therapy, or any other type of discipline that we feel necessary to co-manage the care with, and diagnostic centers. We make sure that, the patient gets the care that they need and seen by the types of doctors that they need to be seen by.
So, and you can quarterback that situation,
correct? Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about a type of a case that the three of us would work on together. Okay, somebody, and I'm going to take a shot at this. Somebody works, it drives for a living, okay? And they're working, and next thing you know, they go through a light. They have the green, and somebody T-bones them coming in, they blow the red light. And now you have, would that be a third party case, Jen?
Yes, there would be a third party case. So anytime you're on the job, there's actually two opportunities to get money. So the first would be the third party, the person that actually struck the vehicle. And then the other opportunity would be workers' comp. So I love workers' comp on those situations. It's just like you can maximize this case, which is really great. But it is a double-edged sword, because at the end of the day, there'll be a workers' comp lien, but it all goes into the value of your case and all that. So, but it's so important to have the right people on your team and on the case from the outset, just like the doctor was saying, in regards to making sure that the client is getting a variety of treatment, not just like massages and like chiropractic treatment. You want to make sure that, you're getting the pain management, you're going to specialists, you're doing all the things to make more value of your case. So,
that type of situation, do you typically, and I'm asking Paula, do you often get that type of case first, and then because it's a work injury that comes your way, and how do you handle that? Because it seems like it could be obviously advantageous if there was a work injury element in a personal case, because it allows them to collect workers' compensation. But how does the ebb and flow of that case go? Does your case resolve typically faster than the personal injury side, Paula?
Yes, typically. And most of my clients who do have third-party cases, they come to me first for the work comp. Then I would refer them to a personal injury attorney for that piece of it. The personal injury, they kind of have to wait till they're done with their medical treatment to see where they are with the numbers and the pain and suffering and possibly loss of consortium for the spouse or partner. But the workers' comp cases typically settle before. And then we do all work as a team, and the workers' comp carrier has to be notified as to who's representing the individual on the PI case, because they'll notify them and the other carrier of their lien.
And is that subrogation?
Yes, that is called subrogation.
Now, I thought that I would teach you, Paula, and you, Jen, what subrogation means. Okay, I know you guys have only been doing this for 50 years total, but I want you to learn something on this. Are you thankful, Jen?
You're the best.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That Ironworkers Apprentice School pulled through for me. That's what I'm talking about. It's definitely it's interesting. And one of the things that people should know in either case is something called the contingency fee agreement. And I'm going to get into that with the doc also. Because people think that they cannot afford attorneys in that type of situation if they've never been in it before. I'll go to Paula first. No out-of-pocket cost, to come in and see you or even retain you. Talk about that as it relates to this situation.
Yes, that's right. The initial consultation is free. And then in Pennsylvania, by legislature, we operate under a 20% contingent fee. And that is for the wage loss piece of it. There are some attorneys that are trying to chip in on the medical as well, but that's really, really frowned upon, and I don't do that. So they only owe money out of their benefits. If they're awarded benefits, if we have to go into court and have to fight to get them benefits, or if they're on benefits and I have to fight to keep them, if the insurance carrier is trying to bump them off comp, I can't get 20% unless a workers' comp judge issues an order indicating so.
And Jen, if you would talk about contingency fee in regards to your practice.
Yep. So every case is a little bit different, where there's the contingency fee is consistent with what Ms. Robinson said in regards to like a set fee. We charge 40% on the third party case, and then it just varies. Like if you're a limited tort and I'm going to have to go to bat, and it's soft tissues, you went to treatment like six times, and you know, it's a tougher case. Our contingency fee is 40%. If it's a little bit easier case, you have full tort, there's a lot of benefits to that, and we don't have to fight as hard, and you were consistent, you did everything that we needed you to do, then we have a reduced rate at that. Also, minors have a reduced rate as well. So it just depends on the case and, you know, the complexity of it.
But either way, there's no out-of-pocket cost, right? In other words, somebody walks in and they have, you know, they, you know, for whether they have a case or not, which, you know, that you're going to accept, they're not pulling out of their pocket to pay a fee up front, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And then the other caveat, too, is like even with the more challenging cases, like we love to go to battle. We love to fight the insurance companies and things like that. And I let people know right from the outset just to manage their expectation, just explaining the limited tort versus full tort. A lot of people think, hey, you know, I got full coverage.
I was just going to say, I got full coverage. Don't worry about it.
Right. So, you know, having those heart-to-heart conversations because, you know, you have to let them know because they think, okay, I'm going to go see someone for 3 months and then I'm going to expect $50,000. And, you know, when's that happening? Can I pick it up next week? You know, so it's managing people's expectation and then also letting them know, I can only fight for your case as much as you put into it. So, you know, the first part really comes down to the client and their participation and making sure that they follow the doctor's orders and being consistent on the treatment. Then the second hand of that is us, like, really just advocating for them and really telling a different story. But I'm sorry if I went on a tangent, but limited tort, you know, just making sure that people understand. And while you're looking at it and thinking about it, you could check out what you have, because a lot of times the agents that are selling you the policies, they're like, hey, we'll just give you what you need. And we'll make sure that you don't have to pay for all this extra stuff. And I'm down with coupons and I'm down with discounts and I love a good bargain. The one thing that I would say that you don't want to bargain is your insurance.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to make sure that you are covered full tort and quickly uninsured and underinsured, because now that I'm on this tangent, I just want to make sure that you guys know that if somebody hits you and they don't have insurance and you don't have these benefits, these actual these little benefits, you're kind of screwed. So I hate to see that. I hate to have that conversation. So I'm thankful for this opportunity just to talk to people and kind of bring it to the forefront. You want to make sure you have full tort, underinsured motorist benefits, and uninsured motorist.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm happy you brought it up, because educating people, that's what the platform's about. Because people, you know, I was joking around only, and it's not a laughing matter, but I can, you and I have talked about it about 1,000 times about, you know, about, don't worry about me, I got full coverage, la, 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 right? I mean, people have no idea what they have. Having said that, let me bring the doc in. Doc, somebody, when somebody comes into you, and say Jen or Paula send a client over, okay, and it's an injured worker, or it's a personal injury type situation, there's no out-of-pocket costs walking through your door for something like that, correct?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There isn't out-of-pocket cost. If the benefits aren't there, we've worked with the attorneys with a, you know, lien, a letter of protection, to wait till the end, you know, which is based on the, you know, the settlement and everything like that. So yeah, they don't have any out-of-pocket, you know, costs at all.
And that's vitally important, because people, like I said, you know, and you have individuals that are way, they're just afraid, and they don't,
right.
They don't know if they have the resources. Setting up expectations, Jen, you mentioned that, and talking to people right at the beginning, and having that conversation, because people can be their worst own enemies. And I'm going to go around the horn there. I'll start with Jen. Jen, talk about that conversation when somebody comes in. Sometimes, like you mentioned, that you know they think they want their $50,000, and then and you know in 2 to 3 months and just walk away, not understand the ebbs and flows of a case. Talk about how important it is to educate somebody at the beginning, not about how much you think you can get for them, because that's not what you do and it's not what great attorneys do, but just preparing them for, you know, these things sometimes last a while.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's two parts of it. It's like managing the settlement expectation, because there's a lot of factors here, you know? And when it comes down to it, for what I do with third parties, say you get hit by someone who only has $15,000, but you have surgery and you don't have underinsured motorist benefits. Well, the most I could get for you is 15. So even the value of your case might be six figures, but where do I get it? I can only get it from two places, from the person that was at fault for the accident, and or your own insurance policy. So it's really having those conversations. And it's kind of funny, and I do my practice a little bit different in regards to having that conversation. Like anybody or an attorney that looks at someone with soft tissue injuries and say, oh yeah, your case is worth 45, without knowing, you know, what's on the other side, or looking at any of the medical reports and documentation and how often they treat it, I would call BS on them, just because there's so many factors that when I'm signing you up, unless you, I know some of the things that we just talked about, like the available policy and what the injuries are and how consistent you were, I'm not going to be able to tell you a range, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's very important for that. And then also letting people know, don't check out that Lamborghini next week or whatever like that. You're not going to be able to close on it. So, you know, letting them know that this is a marathon, not a sprint, because, yeah, you know, you have people calling for updates and I'm just like, did you finish treatment? No, I'm still in treatment. Well, you know, I don't have an update for you outside of, you know, keep treating and doing what you have to do. But that's the beauty of having workers come, because that they get paid much, much, much sooner than a personal injury claim. So it's also nice to have a workers' comp piece, because at least they get something, you know, sooner than their third party case.
And Paul, if you would, mm-hmm, about that conversation, you know, when somebody walks in, you've said many times, sometimes, you know, when it's a disputed case, and you heard Dr. Rubin say he handles, you know, cases like that, and obviously when he's working with a good attorney, but it can be painful for somebody who walks in, especially somebody who tried to do it themselves at first and was being toyed around. That is, sometimes takes 9 months to a year just to get, yeah, this thing back on track. Yeah. What's that conversation like?
Well, especially if it's a case where I would have to file a claim petition. They had a work injury. It's been denied. I have to go through the proper channels of filing that claim petition. Although it's immediately assigned to a work comp judge because we file electronically, it takes the judge a while to get it on their schedule. And depending on who the judge is, it could be, you know, 2 weeks to a month before we get the first hearing. And then nothing is really done at the first hearing except the claimant would testify in most cases. So I explained to them that this is really a 9 month to a year process. And in that time frame, you know, if you're asking a judge to find that you're disabled, you can't be working, earning the same amount of money or working at all. And a lot of people can't last that long.
It just amazes me that, wow, that we give the people a way to smoke somebody out, you know, when they're injured. Just absolutely crazy. Paul, when you come in and you have this conversation and you know it's going to be a long recovery. Yeah. And you, by the way, you know what they're up against. If,
right,
it's a personal injury or if it's a work comp injury, you talk to them at the beginning about, you know, what their treatments, especially as related to their injury. Talk about that conversation and the importance of treatment and being compliant and all those things.
Yeah, you let them know, you know, the importance of, as you just said, you know, being compliant and, you know, how long things can take, and, you know, just be upfront and, you know, honest with them, and, you know, let them know about the expectations of everything, and, you know, that is a process and everything. And then, but we're here to, you know, help them with that and be dedicated with them as a team member and partner with them to, you know, make sure, you know, as I said, get them the care they need and, you know, help them through that whole process,
in your
tedious
world,
as it can be.
And your world being efficient with medical reports and all that, with the attorneys when they need them. Talk about that.
Sure. As soon as we get the letter, you know, letter documentation request, we you know, email, fax it right over to the attorney, you know, because we know it's important to get them the record. So, yeah, we definitely don't, you know, mess around with that for a second, third request. We do that right away, ASAP. We get that over to the personal injury and workers' comp attorneys, ASAP. And that's important. Without that, it didn't happen. So,
And having said that, and we got about 5 minutes left, yeah, you know, when it comes to depositions and all that, do you ever get called in to do them?
Once in a while, yeah, here and there, you know, definitely do the depositions.
And you're available for
that? Yeah, available for that anytime they need me. You know, a lot of times the medical doctor, but sometimes they need the chiropractor as well. And yeah, just free up my schedule for that, absolutely.
And the communication between the three of you is important. And speaking of communications, Paul, you know, we talked about Jen obviously being involved with the Hispanic bar, but you also have a Hispanic intake. A situation for individuals that are Hispanic and contact your practice. Talk about that.
Yes. On my website, I have a toggle that goes from English to Spanish, and there's a designated phone number for my Hispanic-speaking clients, and I do have an intake individual, and she will answer the call in Spanish, set up the meeting with me and the client and herself. And I also have my forms, my fee agreement and authorization forms. I had them drafted in Spanish for the client. I have to have them sign the ones in English because my judges don't speak Spanish. But to me, it's not fair to shove a piece of paper in someone's face that's not their native language.
Sure.
So I do have that available for my Hispanic clients. And they need representation just as much as everybody else.
Absolutely. And Jen, that's important when you talk about having a cultural, potential gap there. The fact that, that there are those types of, opportunities for people to understand one another, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. But, while we're on this subject, the great equalizer in the court system and in the justice system is having a diverse jury.
Yep.
So I would encourage people to participate. I mean, I think that one of our greatest rights as citizens and humans and just people is, number one, the ability to vote. But the second one that's like really up there too is to participate in a jury. And it's like, I don't know how we got off the base where we think it's such a burden. And I understand the economics to it. I think that we have to look at, we can't be paying people $12, $13 to sit, and now they're giving up a whole day's of work. So I feel like that, both sides of it needs to be looked at and revamped. But for the immediate way that we could help and individuals can help is just say, yes, I want to participate, and, try not to make excuses to participate, but definitely lean in and be engaged, because that right there, we need everybody to like decide on if somebody's going away to jail, even though I don't do criminal, but on the civil side too, equally important. When we talk about limited tort, is it a serious injury or is it serious to compensate someone if they miss a 14th birthday or if they had to rearrange their schedule or they had to miss work? I mean, these are things that we need common people to actually decide. To
absolutely.
Send a message to the insurance company that, me having to readjust my schedule and be creative and take buses that I wouldn't have to take or take time off of work, all that is serious. And once we get a diverse jury, we can send a clear message to insurance companies, and it would be stop spending so much money on these ads and start compensating plaintiffs.
Absolutely. You know? And I want to say one thing, because we only have about less than a minute left. That's, you and I have talked about it. That's the jury of your peers, okay? And if you don't participate, then that really never happens. So, Jen, if you would, contact information at the firm?
Yeah, 267-313-1186.
Dr. Paul Rubin, contact information, if you will.
215-972-0307, 1420 Walnut Street, Suite 1404.
Name of the practice?
Dr. Paul Rubin's Chiropractic and Wellness Center.
And Jen, name of your practice?
Gomez Law Group.
Absolutely. Paula Robinson, contact information?
215-530-7166, Robinson Law. It's www.robinsonlwyr.com.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and taking charge of Paula Robinson. I want to shout out to my man, Freddie. Okay, he's my buddy, and I want to shout out, and of course I want to shout out. I'll tell you later. That's not Freddie in there. I want to shout out. I want to shout out to
Poor
Drew Walker.
Sam.
And I want to put, no, that's Sam in there. Freddie's my next door neighbor. He's a dog. I told his dad I was going to set him out. I want to thank Paul Robinson and everybody on Dr. Paul Rubin and the whole crew. On behalf of everybody, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They're back. Tuesday nights at 7, join Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Spencer Grossinger, Dr. Stephen Lewis, and Josh Deitche for Rover Sports. Football, basketball, baseball, and pop culture. It's an entertaining 90 minutes that will have you rethinking everything you think you thought about sports. Rover Sports, Tuesday nights at 7 on WWDB, on the app, or on any smart device wherever you stream radio. Just ask Alexa. Rover Sports, Tuesday nights at 7 on WWDB.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Hi. I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life. Completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's